All the failures to follow and enforce those laws are the rich and powerful's way of saying no. All that counts are our rights. Once again, your current president and his administration is forcing the issue. Not all American presidents have been so willing to confront the rich and powerful on yet another front.
I see that. The newspaper article says that Clinton administration housing officials have initiated more investigation of housing discrimination in the brief time they've been in office than were investigated in the prior 10 years. A spokesperson for the Fair Housing Alliance, that's a national advisory group in Washington, said the Clinton administration's insistence that fair housing statutes be obeyed was something they had tried to get other administrations to do for years.
And so this current president makes even more enemies among the rich and powerful, manufacturers and industrialists, drug companies and insurance firms, doctors and medical conglomerates, and investment property owners, all people with money and influence. As observed earlier, look for Clinton to have a tough time staying in office.
Even at this time, April 1994, the pressure is mounting against him.
Does your April 9th, 1994 edition of the newspaper tell you anything else about the human race?
Well, on page A14, here's a picture of a Russian political leader brandishing his fists. Underneath the photograph is a news story headline, "Zhirinovsky Assaults Colleagues in Parliament." The article notes that Vladimir Zhirinovsky got into another fistfight yesterday, beating up a political opponent and screaming in his face, "I'll have you rot in jail. I'll tear your beard out hair by hair."
And you wonder why nations go to war?
Oh, man.
Here is a major leader of a massive political movement, and in the halls of parliament, he has to prove his manhood by beating up his opponents? Yours is a very primitive race, where strength is all you understand. There is no true law on your planet. True law is natural law. Inexplicable and not needed to be explained or taught, it is observable. True law is that law by which the people freely agree to be governed because they are governed by it naturally. Their agreement is therefore not so much an agreement as it is a mutual recognition of what is so. Those laws don't have to be enforced. They already are enforced by the simple expedient of undeniable consequence. Let me give you an example. Highly evolved beings do not hit themselves on the head with a hammer because it hurts. They also don't hit anyone else on the head with a hammer for the same reason. Evolved beings have noticed that if you hit someone else with a hammer, that person gets hurt. If you keep doing it, that person gets angry. If you keep getting him angry, he finds a hammer of his own and eventually hits you back. Evolved beings therefore know that if you hit someone else with a hammer, you are hitting yourself with a hammer. It makes no difference if you have more hammers or a bigger hammer. Sooner or later, you're going to get hurt. This result is observable. Now, unevolved beings, primitive beings, observe the same thing. They simply don't care. Evolved beings are not willing to play the one with the biggest hammer wins. Primitive beings play nothing else. Incidentally, this is largely a male game. Among your species, very few women are willing to play hammers hurt. They play a new game. They say, if I had a hammer, I'd hammer out justice. I'd hammer out freedom. I'd hammer out love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land.
Are you saying women are more evolved than men?
I'm making no judgment one way or the other on that. I simply observe. You see, truth, like natural law,
is observable. Now, any law that is not natural law is not observable, and so has to be explained to you. You have to be told why it's for your own good. It has to be shown to you. This is not an easy task, because if a thing is for your own good, it is self-evident. Only that which is not self-evident has to be explained to you. It takes a very unusual and determined person to convince people of something which is not self-evident. For this purpose, you have invented politicians and clergy. Scientists don't say much. They're usually not very talkative. They don't have to be. They conduct an experiment and it succeeds. They simply show you what they've done. The results speak for themselves. So scientists are usually quiet types, not given to verbosity. It is not necessary. The reason for their work is self-evident. Furthermore, if they try something and fail, they have nothing to say. Not so with politicians. Even if they failed, they talk. In fact, sometimes the more they fail, the more they talk. The same is true of religions. The more they fail, the more they talk. Yet I tell you this, truth and God are found in the same place, in the silence. When you have found God and when you have found truth, it is not necessary to talk about it. It is self-evident. If you are talking a lot about God, it is probably because you are still searching. That's okay. That's all right. Just know where you are.
But teachers talk about God all the time. That's all we talk about in this program.
You teach what you choose to learn. And yes, this program does speak about me, as well as about life, which makes this program a very good case in point. You have engaged yourself in writing this because you are still searching.
Yes.
Indeed. And the same is true of those who are listening to it. But we were on the subject of creation. You asked me at the beginning of this chapter why, if I didn't like what I was seeing on earth, I didn't change it. I have no judgment about what you do. I merely observe it and from time to time describe it. But now I must ask you, forget my observations and forget my descriptions. How do you feel about what you have observed of your planet's creations? You've taken just one day's stories out of the newspaper, and so far you've uncovered nations refusing to grant basic rights to workers, the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer in the face of a depression in Germany, the government having to force property owners to obey fair housing laws in the United States, a powerful leader telling political opponents, "I'll have you rot in jail, I'll tear your beard out hair by hair," while punching them in the face on the floor of the national legislature in Russia. Anything else this newspaper has to show me about your civilized society?
Well, there's a story on page A13, headlined, "Civilians Suffer Most in Angolan Civil War." The drophead says, "In rebel areas, top guns live in luxury while many thousands starve."
Enough. I'm getting the picture. And this is just one day's paper.
One section of one day's paper. I haven't gotten out of Section A.
And so I say again, your world's economic, political, social, and religious systems are primitive. I will do nothing to change that for the reasons I've given. You must have free choice and free will in these matters in order for you to experience my highest goal for you, which is to know yourself as the Creator. And so far, after all these thousands of years, this is how far you have evolved. This is what you have created. Does it not make you indignant that you have done one good thing? You have come to me for advice. Repeatedly, your civilization has turned to God asking, "Where did we go wrong? How can we do better?" The fact that you have systematically ignored my advice on every other occasion does not stop me from offering it again. Like a good parent, I'm always willing to offer a helpful observation when asked. Also, like a good parent, I'm willing to keep loving you if I'm ignored. So I'm describing things as they really are, and I'm telling you how you can do better. I'm doing so in a way which causes you to feel some indignation because I want to get your attention. I see that I've done so.
What could cause the kind of massive consciousness shift of which you've spoken now repeatedly?
There's a slow chipping away happening.
They are gradually stripping the block of granite, which is the human experience, of its unwanted excess, as the sculptor chips away to create and reveal the true beauty of the final carving.
We?
You and I, through our work, and a great many others, messengers all, the writers, the artists, the television and movie producers, the musicians, the singers, the actors, the dancers, the teachers, the shamans, the gurus, the politicians, the leaders. Yes, there are some very good ones, some very sincere ones. The doctors, the lawyers. Yes, there are some very good ones, some very sincere ones. The moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas in living rooms and kitchens and backyards all over America and all around the world.
You are the forebearers, the harbingers, and the consciousness of many people is shifting because of you.